Still to come later on, political comedian Will Durst will have his take on Romney's videotape and the presidential election, which is now less than 7 weeks away. But before we talk to Will about that in an hour, let's talk about all of that and much more that's going on in the news with Don Lemon from the CNN newsroom, who I'm told by Trish is hopped up on sugar today. What are you eating? Young man, what are you eating?
I didn't think you were going to get to me that fast. That is so good.
What are you having?
I have candy corn Oreos. Have you tried these things?
I've never even heard of them.
I have not, and I don't like candy corn. So.
What? That is un-American.
I'm not a big candy corn person either, but do you like Paydays?
You guys must be part of the 47%.
Put in a bowl some peanuts and candy corn and eat them together, and it tastes like a Payday. That's the only way I can eat candy corn.
My God, I have the biggest headache from this sugar now.
I'm sure you do.
But I can't imagine an Oreo candy corn.
Candy corn.
Yeah, candy corns are really sweet anyway. So it's like a vanilla-colored Oreo on top on the two sides, and then there's candy corn in the middle. And they're limited edition just for Halloween.
Wait a minute.
I love candy corn. So I said it on television, and people in the studio were looking for them for me. Nobody could find them here in Atlanta. I went to speak at a school in Illinois. I was just in Carbondale yesterday.
Oh.
And they got them for me. Yeah.
So it's not a regular Oreo cookie with the chocolate cookie, but with the golden vanilla cookie?
It's a golden vanilla cookie.
See, that's just wrong.
I know.
That's wrong right there.
Oreo?
That is not an Oreo.
How can you say it's wrong until you try it?
I'm not saying that it's necessarily bad. I'm just saying it's not an Oreo. You know, I've had a thing, Don, for several years with the Nabisco people because, to me, the Oreo, the regular, plain old, everyday, we had it for decades, Oreo was the perfect cookie. You did not need to take it and double the filling.
No, I agree.
And then dip it in fudge and
double
then put sprinkles
stuff
on it and introduce it to Mr. and Mrs. Candy Corn and make babies with it. We didn't need that. We had the perfect cookie. If you're going to make what you're talking about, don't call it an Oreo.
Stop it! Did you do this when Mike and Ike broke up? Did you get that upset?
I did. I didn't. But I will tell you, Good and Plenty, when they divorced, I was PO'd for a month.
We'll call it a Coreo then. Candy corn Oreos. Coreos. You don't have to be an Oreo. Sorry I mentioned it.
I'm saying call it something else. But I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I can tell that the sugar has kicked in.
I know it is. I'm going to crash. We'll be like halfway through our conversation. I'll be like...
Done. Wake up. Done.
This is me putting my Oreos away.
Did you see the videotape of the sports radio guy? I think it was in New York, Mike Francesa, who was taking phone calls about something during his show, and a guy was going on and on and on about something, and he nodded off on the air. And it's a radio show that's also telecast on, like, some cable outlet. So, of course, it was caught on camera. And you can see a point where his engineer must have said something into his headphones off the air so that because he kind of sits up all of a sudden like, What's
going on? There he goes.
Don, in all your years in TV, have you ever had something like that where you're covering something and it's going on and on and on and you just...
No, my favorite, I'm sure you've had it before, is when... Well, you don't wear IFBs. When the producer is talking in your ear and people are talking during the interview and then you ask the person a dumb question or the same question they just answered because you can't hear them.
Yeah.
Because when the producer's talking, you don't hear the guest. So, I'll go, how much money did he make? And the woman will be going, he made $500 million last year. And then I'll go, well, Jan, how much money did she make? And the people at home are going, you idiot.
Yeah. Or it's one of those stories where at the end, the reporter throws in, before they throw it back to you at the anchor desk, they throw in something like that. And so that's what it is for a family of 19 children. And then you come on, having worked on something else, you're looking down or they're talking in your ear about the next thing you're doing. And you say, and how do they have any kids? I love that sort of stuff.
I do, too.
That's why I don't let anybody talk to me in my headphones.
Well, I have people talking to me in my head all the time. It's not necessarily.
And you know what? I take my hat off to you because there's a great skill involved in doing that and not making it look like somebody's talking to you in your ear.
I just mean I hear voices, Paul.
Well, that's your schizophrenia. That's
okay. Thank you.
That's
and my food is here. Did you guys hear my doorbell? Anyway.
Oh, now you're eating after you just ate the Oreos? Jeez, Don.
First he has cookies, then he has the meal.
What did you order?
Don, you're my kind of guy.
I want to know what you're having.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I have some Thai shrimp.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It was so funny. I traveled today, this morning. I had a flight at 5 this morning from Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home a little while ago, and I fell asleep, and now the delivery guy's here.
Well, go ahead. Complete your transaction.
Thank you. All righty.
Did you offer him a cookie? No, you didn't, did you?
He doesn't need to eat. You should have seen the size of that guy.
Nice.
So what was your speech in Carbondale about?
I went there to talk to students about media, about what to inspire them. They wanted to, they wanted some of the Don Lemon, so I gave it to them. I talked to them about my book and,
Were they journalism students?
Some of them were journalism students. Some of them were communication students. It was just people, just students, and then people from the from around, what is it, Carbondale, what do you call it? Which is right by... Where is it? Bloomington?
Normal?
Anyway, I don't know where I was.
Okay.
University of Illinois.
I'm sure you were at SIUC, Southern yes. Illinois University at Carbondale.
Yeah. That's where I was. Yeah, that's right.
And you're uh-oh. Having Thai food now, and you just had Oreos, and your name is Don.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's talk about a couple of things in the news here. What do you think of the fallout, not necessarily the tape itself, but the fallout in the last 24 hours from the Mitt Romney tape?
Oh, my God, I had the vapors. No, well, from the Mitt Romney team, I actually think that this is it could be an opportunity for Mitt Romney to at least appear strong in front of the people who like him. I don't know how much it's going to appeal to people who are not partisan and the independents he's trying to pick up or that he needs to pick up in order to win.
Yeah.
Because anytime you say, people are dependent and victims, most people don't want to feel like they're victims. Or they don't want to feel like they're dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, no matter how you slice it, no matter what side you're on, it made him seem like a rich guy who was sort of casting judgment on other people. Now, whether his facts are right about 47% of the people not paying income tax, that's not exactly right because most of those people pay payroll taxes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people who aren't paying those taxes are elderly people who are on Medicare and Medicaid and so on and so forth.
Right.
But I think all of these things are adding up and they're throwing his team for a bit of a loop. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to turn a negative into a positive, which anyone would do. But he should, if he wants to win, and I would offer this advice to anyone, I'm sure you would as well, he needs to stick to the script. And he needs to talk about the economy because that's what most people are going to vote on.
Yeah, well, they're trying to, but they keep getting distracted. Libya, he says something, gets his foot in his mouth. This comes back to haunt him months after he said it.
The urge hits you to talk about something else in the economy, don't. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Don't.
No, you're right.
Because you're only going to get yourself in trouble, and the other side is going to use it to their advantage. So,
one of our news people here, Colin, made an interesting point yesterday, and that is that the people who are in the 47% of America that doesn't pay taxes,
right.
But still do get government benefits, and that does include the elderly on Social Security and Medicare, veterans who return home and are getting help. People who maybe just be on unemployment for a year because they can't find a job in the recession, all that sort of stuff. He says, how many of those people hear you talking about those who are sucking at the government teat and say, well, that's not me, and they look down on those people,
mm-hmm.
even though they technically fall into the same classification?
Well, because they don't realize that they're part of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
They don't realize that those are government benefits. They believe are entitlements. They believe that they are entitled to those things, but
right.
when it's an entitlement when it's somebody else,
yep.
right? Or it's not deserved when it's someone else. But there are many people in the country who get those benefits. And to be quite honest with you, because of the political talking points, and because people vote along party lines just because they don't really have any good reason when you listen to them, and I mean that for Democrats and Republicans, people don't understand that they're voting against their own interests.
Yeah.
And I hear people, most of the people who are going to vote for Mitt Romney are going to vote for him anyways. It doesn't matter what he said about 47%. They will find some way to agree with him. They will twist it in their head and find some way to rationalize that counting out half of the voting population is somehow good. And there is no way in H-E double hockey sticks that that is good. Even if you believe it, you don't want to say it because you don't want to alienate anyone.
Right.
So if Mitt Romney or anyone in that campaign tells you, well, that's actually good and I'm glad I said it, that is a talking point. He's not glad he said that.
All right, well,
they don't actually believe that. They're saying that to you in order to trick you into thinking that it's okay.
Which brings us to the more important question then, which is that is red meat for the core, for the Republican base. Those things that he said, like you just pointed out, they eat that stuff up. But if Romney is correct in one thing he said in his address there, which is he's got to reach that 5% or so who are those swing voters. So my question is, Don, do you think that this stuff coming out helps or hurts him with that 5% that he's got to swing his way?
No, it doesn't. It helps him, as you said, with the core, with the people who are going to believe what he says no matter what, with the people who are going to vote for the Republican candidate no matter what, with the people who are going to go for the Republican platform no matter what. And listen, don't get me wrong. Had it been a Democrat who done it, it would be the same thing. I just had this conversation. We just had a network-wide conversation at CNN about political bias. When we go up against a Republican, then all of a sudden we're liberals. When we go up against a liberal, then all of a sudden we're conservative or Republicans. People hear what they want to hear.
Yep.
Unless you are not a political zombie. And unless you say you have a brain of your own, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Just because I'm a Republican doesn't mean that I should think that way. Just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean that that makes sense. Just because I'm a liberal doesn't mean that that makes sense or I should vote that way.
Right.
So for the independents, the people who don't always go on party lines, heck no, they're going to go, what is wrong with this man?
Okay, so then let's talk about swing states. Because and by the way, CNN is guilty of this just like other networks, and I wish you'd pass the word to just knock it off. But I'm really tired of seeing national polls. Because you and I both know it doesn't matter what people in California say or in Texas say or in states that are definitely blue or definitely red. There's like 9 states that matter, the swing states of America. That's the only polling that affects it. That's where that 5 to 10% is that Romney was talking about, rightly. So where are we with those swing states right now in terms of presidential preference?
Okay, let me get the national poll up. The national poll is 48-45 Obama, okay? That was our latest poll.
But it means nothing.
The states you're talking about Virginia, Wisconsin, New Hampshire,
Ohio.
Right? And so let me reel those off to you.
Yeah.
So the latest poll of polls, or the latest independent polling on all of the states, here's where it is for Virginia. And this is a Quantipiac CBS New York Times poll. Obama in Virginia, 52, Romney, 44. Okay.
Wow.
In Wisconsin,
points.
Obama 51, Romney 45, and then there's haven't decided or whatever the margin of error 3%.
Yeah.
In Colorado, which is a very important state, 48 Obama, 47 Romney. That's a statistical tie.
Yep.
And then in New Hampshire, 49, 46. Romney in New Hampshire.
Wow.
Romney 49, Obama 46.
Well, he's from Massachusetts or has ties to Massachusetts, New Hampshire right next door, affected by the Massachusetts media. So, okay, that might make sense.
Right. So there you go. So, I mean, it's tough. It's going to be a tight one. But the person who really has to run for the home stretch is Romney.
Yeah.
The person who really has to stay on message, not make any gaffes, pull the independents in is Obama. It's going to be a tough one for Romney because he's trailing in those states that you mentioned, the states that really matter, because the rest of them are already in red or blue columns.
Yeah.
So if he's trailing in those states, then he's got an uphill battle. Doesn't mean that you should count him out. I don't believe people say that this 47% video and the other gaffe about Libya, whatever, that they're counting Mitt Romney out. I don't believe that. And I tend to be a bit skeptical about polls. There is some accuracy to them. They can sort of give you an idea, maybe a snapshot, but you don't know what's going to affect people, what's going to happen between now and Election Day. You don't know what the weather is going to be like. You don't know what the economy is going to be like. You don't know what the jobless numbers are going to be like. Obama could come out and do something really silly. Romney can come out and do something really silly as well. So you don't know. So I don't count people out, especially when it's this close. I mean, 52-44 in Virginia, all right, that's pretty big. But when you look at the 47-46 or 48-47, you can't really go,
Yeah.
He's going to win there. So right. It's going to be a tight one.
And what pressure does that put on Romney to hit it out of the ballpark during the debates?
Well, I think that puts a lot of pressure on Romney to do that. But he's going to have to do, like I said, it's going to be an uphill battle for him because the incumbent, as you know, always has the advantage. And so not only does the incumbent have the advantage, he has the inside information. He has the intelligence reports. He has access to information that Romney doesn't necessarily have. And I'm talking about minor, I'm talking about intricate specifics. So that's going to be a bit tough. But I think Romney is a smart guy. If he can keep, as I said, his tongue out of gaffe land, that's going to be his challenge to do that. And to stick with the issue for him and for the country, the economy. That's where he has to go. And I heard a conservative strategist say this, and it may have been a conservative lawmaker saying, he needs to be in Wisconsin. He needs to be in New Hampshire. He should be in Colorado running as if he's running for governor. He should be in Wisconsin running like he's running for sheriff instead of being in Utah and at these dinners where he, you know, was videotaped. Money is not his issue. He has more money than he'll need. He needs votes and he needs confidence. And so he needs the people to be on his side. So he should be in those swing states like he lives there, sleeping in all of them, wake up in one, go to bed in one, and wake up in the other every single day until this election.
All right, one last thing, and then I'm going to let you go eat your Thai food.
It's okay. I have a microwave.
And I guess it's the last piece of this puzzle here, which is the free media aspect of Romney going on with Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan and Obama going on with Letterman and that sort of stuff. Do those appearances affect how they're going to do?
Well, I would say yes. And if you listen to the entire video, the secret video that was on MotherJones.com, if you listen to that, you hear people offering him advice in the crowd saying, well, why don't you take advantage? Why don't you go on The View? Why don't you go on? And he talks about going on Kelly Ripa, going on The View, going on Letterman and those shows. Yes, because on those shows, people can see you as human. They don't see you as, they may not be able to see your humanness, for lack of a better term, or your relatability in a shorter interview in a serious news story like a CBS News or an ABC or CNN in one of those interviews, because mostly what people are going to talk to you about policy, they're going to talk to you about policy, they're going to talk to you about economy. In those interviews, like Letterman, they're going to talk to you about fun things like your family. What do you wear to bed? Or do you wear boxes or briefs and those kind of things? And those are lighter moments.
Yep.
So I think those interviews do matter. And I think that, you know, I like to see them in that venue as well to see how they actually relate. If you listen to, you have to be very keen about this. Take a day if you can and listen to Fox News or conservative media. Every single person who comes on, every Republican, every pundit, every lawmaker who comes on in support of Mitt Romney will say, well, you know, he actually does have a heart and he has a soul. He has a soul and he has a heart and he is human. They will say it to a T because those are the talking points. I sat in one day without a remote. I was in a hotel room, and I had it on Fox News. And to a person, everyone who came on said, well, you know, people need to know that Mitt Romney has a heart and a soul. Everyone. So if someone is saying to them, people aren't relating to Mitt Romney because they think he is an automaton. He's a robot. So we need to make sure that people know he has a heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should listen to that. So in those interviews that you asked me about, that's going to make the difference when it comes to that issue.
Don Lemon from the CNN newsroom, and plug the book, Don. Go ahead.
It's called Transparent. You can get it at Amazon.com and buy it online and help educate yourself. And
help Don buy more Oreos with candy corn.
And listen to this.
Yeah.
That's my takeout bag.
All right.
Awesome.
Enjoy your lunch. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much, Don.
It's always great to talk to you guys. I'm so glad Martin is on vacation. You're such a pleasure. Can you do it every week?
I'm telling him you said that.
I didn't say anything, did I?
Don Lemon from CNN here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.